أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. We seek the protection of God from Shaitan, who has been expelled away from God's kingdom of special mercy because of his arrogance and because of his defiance. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We turn submissively to God and we ask for his guidance and help because we believe he is the all perfect one, he is the all merciful one, and his special mercy is endless. Alhamdulillah wassalatu wassalam ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi at-tahirin. We send our salutations on the Holy Prophet and on his holy progeny, who are the best guides for mankind till the end of time. Elders, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. We were discussing about the brief commentary on Dua Kumail. We said that before we recite the Dua, we need to very quickly remind ourselves about the importance of this Dua. A, the person who requested for the Dua was not an ordinary person, Kumail ibn Ziyad Nakha'i. He was an extraordinary companion from the elite companions of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Very trusted. Imam entrusted him with the governorship of a province in Iraq, Hayt. And a companion who was high in his level of wisdom and knowledge, Imam Ali salam even shared with him some predictions about the future. That's rare. Imam does not predict futures to everyone. Not everyone has the capacity to handle it. And he wasn't only a man strong in his spiritual perfection, but also on the battlefield, was very brave. Secondly, Kumail requests for a special dua, the dua of Khidr. Again, Khidr is not an ordinary prophet. If you compare the domain and sphere of activity of Prophet Khidr as versus Prophet Musa, you realize Prophet Khidr operates in a higher domain. A domain where even Prophet Musa had to keep on inquiring that I don't understand why you behave in this particular way. And number three, the fact that Imam alayhi salam is approached in the darkness of the night. Normally you wouldn't give access to people at that time, yet in the privacy of that night he welcomes him. And number four, he says, because you're close to us, we will share this dua with you. And number five, the fact that whoever recites this dua, even once in a lifetime, it has the potential to be able to totally transmogrify and transform this individual. For the sake of convenience of discussion, next slide please. We can divide the themes of the dua into these six categories. It's just for the convenience of discussion. Section 1, we address God by 10 different names, and then we say we ask for forgiveness from sins, and then we express our desire that, O Lord, I ask you an tuzi'ani shukraka, an tudniyani min qurbika, and taj'alani bi qismika radiya. I want spiritual gifts from you, but after you have removed sins and forgiven and pardoned me. Paragraph number 2 then gives the reasoning behind why is it the Imam alayhi salam makes this request. And I said this can be considered as a tafsir of this famous ayah, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ. That Imam alayhi salam is expressing his desperation. أَسْأَلُكَ سُؤَالَ مَنِ اشْتَدَّتْ فَاقَتُهُ وَأَنْزَلَ بِكَ عِنْدَ الشَّدَائِدِ حَاجَتَهُ. And the fact that I can call you and you alone, man li ghayruka as'aluhu, is towards the end. But at this stage it is la ajidu, I do not find anyone else other than you who can help me and heal me. And the third paragraph then gives the reason why is it that I am involved in this pathetic, pitiful situation whereby I have come before you and I have sinned. Where Imam alayhi salam says that I testify that whatever has happened out of your wisdom. That Ilahi wa Mawlaya ajrayta alayya hukman ittaba'tu fihi hawa nafsi ولم أحترس فيه من تزيين عدوي وأسعده على ذلك القضاء. But throughout this process I sinned, it was my fault, though the power and the energy to sin came from you, but praise be to you, the energy was pure, I abused it and polluted it. And therefore, لك الحج علي, لك الحمد, you deserve nothing but praise, I deserve to be blamed. And then in the fourth paragraph, Imam alayhi salam says, in case if you do send me to the fire of hell, then I will complain. But it's not, I don't think so you will ever do that. I don't have the endurance to tolerate the fire of the dunya. How can I tolerate the fire of the akhirah? Allahumma arham ضعف badani wa diqqata azmi. Oh Lord, have mercy on me. Look at the softness and the delicateness of my skin, and look at the softness of my bones. And in case if you do burn me in the fire, then I will cry out, I will wail, I will weep, I will shout, and I'll express my innermost feelings that I love no one but you, I respect no one but you. In whole my whole life in the dunya, I believed and I bowed down before no one other than you. And finally, Imam alayhi salam says, I'm very sure, your mercy is so supreme. Had it not been for your wisdom, that you would only punish those who are hardcore criminals, those whose hearts have totally changed and who have been irreparably damaged, had it not been for your wisdom to punish these people, definitely you would have made the fire of hell into a cool garden. لَجَعَلْتَ النَّارَ بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا. I'm sure about that. And then Imam alayhi salam makes his request, فِي هَذِهِ اللَّيْلَ فِي هَذِهِ السَّاعَةِ. I want all my sins forgiven. On this night there is barakah descending. I want the biggest share of any share that you will give to any one of your servants, O Lord. And finally, I want my whole life to change. I want my life to be بِذِكْرِكَ مَعْمُورًا وَبِخِدْمَتِكَ مَوْصُولًا. My whole being should change, not only my external but my internal. Once my internal structure changes, then automatically I will always be in your remembrance, and therefore automatically I'll keep on speaking your remembrance. Even if I'm speaking something else up here in the back track, the constant remembrance of yours will be continuous. This is a very brief outline. Next slide, please. We were concentrating on the first paragraph, and we said that this can be summarized by saying, O Lord, I address you by these 10 names, the names which can be summarized into 3 chief names. O Lord, you know my problem because you are the all-knowing one. O Lord, you are the all-powerful one, you have the power to solve my problems. O Lord, you are loving and merciful enough to want to solve my problems. I request, I beg, I beseech, I ask you to help me. Allahumma inni as'aluka برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء. We've already discussed this first phrase. The next 5 names can be considered in one category because they express and manifest his power. وبقوتك التي قهرت بها كل شيء وخضع لها كل شيء وذل لها كل شيء. I ask you by your قوة and your power. 2. وبجبروتك التي غلبت بها كل شيء. And by your invincible might by which you overwhelm everything. 3. وبعزتك التي لا يقوم لها شيء. And your irresistible power to which nobody can stand up to. And 4. وبعظمتك التي ملأت أركان كل شيء. And by your majesty which prevails and pervades everything. And finally, وبسلطانك الذي على كل شيء. And by your authority which overpowers everything. Notice different names expressing the basic quality of the power of God. All these names don't appear in the Quran in this form. Jabarut, for example, doesn't appear in the Quran. The word Jabbar appears in the Quran. But Quwwah is mentioned in the Quran, Izzah is mentioned in the Quran, Allah is Aziz, wa anna al-izzata lillahi jami'a, wa anna al-quwwata lillahi jami'a. Sultan doesn't appear in the Quran. Sultan does appear, but not in the sense that Imam alayhi salam has used here. Sultan has appeared in the Quran in the meaning of the overwhelming proof sent by God, but not in the sense that overwhelming power of God. Nevertheless, if we confine our discussion to the power of God as discussed in the Quran, we shall be in a better position to appreciate what Imam alayhi salam is trying to appeal to and pray to by these names. Next slide, please. Next. A scan of the various verses where Allah's power is discussed, we could categorize them into these 7 to 8 groups. There is one group of verses where Allah expresses His power by saying, He's the one who began everything because He's all powerful. 2. There's a second group of verses which says that He's all powerful, and the proof for that is at any moment He can stop everything that He started. There's a third set of verses, several verses, not one, whereby Allah says not only can He start and stop, but He can restart anytime He wants. And that is used as proof that He's all powerful. Fourth set of verses says that between the start and the stop, He's the one who continuously sustains and provides because He's all powerful. Group number 5 says that you want an example of the power God has over you? Consider the fact that all the faculties that you have are God-given. Your senses are God-given. Category number 6 is a particularly touching example. All of us human beings face trials and afflictions in life, and they overwhelm us, and Allah uses them as an example. Who is the one who has the power to make you suffer affliction or to remove affliction from you other than Him, because He's all powerful? And then the 8th group of verses which says that basically authority and sovereignty and kingdom belongs to Him and Him alone. قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ. Let's consider a sample of some of these verses to get a better idea of what is the power of God that the Quran wants us to learn about and to appreciate and to acknowledge and then to express. Next slide, please. For example, the fact that He is the one who has the power to begin and to initiate and to commence this whole universe, that is a sign of the power of God. Several verses are there. Consider this one example. Surah Ma'idah chapter 5, ayah number 17. لِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا. To Allah alone belongs the kingdom, the authority, the power over everything that is in the heavens, A, in the earth, B, and whatever is in between the two, C. يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ. He's the one who has the power and the will and the unrestricted freedom to create whatsoever He wills to start with. You know why? Wallahu ala kulli shay'in qadir. These are examples. The underlying principle is God is powerful over everything. 1. 2. Next slide, please. Not only He has the power to start, He makes us think about His power by telling us, consider this fact that He has the power to stop any time if He wills it so. For example, Surah Nisa, chapter 4, ayah number 132 and ayah number 133. The verse that discusses His power to stop is 133. But to appreciate 133, just consider 132 first. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. Whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth belongs to God and God alone. And therefore, in your affairs, strive and struggle, yes, but also entrust your affairs to Him, because He's the one who can execute the power to ensure that you will achieve the results. The next ayah. If Allah wills it, in yasha, if he makes His mashia, in yasha yudhibkum ayyuhan nas wa ya'ti bi akharin. If He so wills, He can wipe you out, O people, and replace you with another people. And this is mentioned in other surahs in a different way. O community of people, we have sent you to different parts of the world. In every part of the world, we give you wealth, we give you power, we give you different gifts. And then we test you. 1 generation, 2 generations, 3 generations. You grow as a community, you become a strong people, you are wealthy, you are rich, you are powerful. You can do a lot of things. Question, what do you do with this power? Do you use it for your own selfish interests only? Or do you also use it to do something good on the earth? And that is the purpose of creation. If you fail to advance and to support the cause of God, again, the same message is repeated again and again. In yasha yuthhibkum, he has the power to stop anytime this particular community. وَيَأْتِي بِآخَرِينَ Or in other words, وَيَأْتِي بِخَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ Or a third verse says, وَيُبَدِّلْ أَمْثَالَكُمْ And then he will bring others who will not be like you, who will be tested and who will be checked whether they make use of the gifts of God or not. So Allah makes us think about His power. He's the one who begins the whole process. Allah makes us think about His power by telling us at any moment He can take away of people, if he so wills, before the Qiyamah. Three. Next ayah, please. He can restart anytime he wants. Once life is taken away and life ends, new life can begin. Why? Because God has the power to do so. This is taken as a proof of His power. For example, there are several verses. I took an example which is quite common. Surah Yasin, chapter 36, ayah number 81. أوليس الذي خلق السماوات والأرض بقادر على أن يخلق مثلهم بلى وهو الخلاق العليم Is it not true that he who created the heavens and the earth A. He who created the first time B. definitely has the power to create again Just a few verses before this. وضرب لنا مثلا ونسي خلقه قال من يحيي العظام وهي رميم قل يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ خَلْقٍ عَلِيمٍ He plays a drama in front of us. He brings us a bone which is about to decay. He crushes it and he crumbles it into powder and says, ha! Once material life ends and you are buried and you decay, you disappear in the ground, who has the power to bring us back again? Say, tell him, O Prophet, argue with him and be firm and categorical. قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا Allah will give it life. The same power who gave it life the first time. When it was nothing, at least there is something now. Next slide. Not only does he have the power to start one, to stop anytime, two, to restart it again, three. Between the start and the stop, he sustains throughout. And that is given as evidence of his power. الله الذي خلق سبع سماوات He's the one who created seven heavens. The lowest of the seven heavens is the starry heaven. Six heavens are beyond. ومن الأرض مثلهن And he has created the earth like the heavens. Seven stages. يتنزل الأمر بينهن Every moment his amr, his command, His power to execute, to govern, to run, to administer descends from the high down the different levels of the angelic world down to the lowest, which is the physical world. Every moment it descends, and that's how the universe runs. يَتَنَزَّلُ الْأَمْرُ بَيْنَهُنَّ لِتَعْلَمُوا And you should observe and study and reflect and learn and draw this conclusion. لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا So that you may appreciate the power of God and that you may appreciate the knowledge of God. It is not possible for this vast, wonderful, amazing universe to run without a designer who is powerful, without a designer who is all-wise and all-knowing. That's the conclusion. Next slide, please. Not only he has the power to start one, to stop two, to restart three, to provide and sustain between the start and the stop four. He gives us another example. Consider the fact that at any time he can rob you of your senses and your faculties. أَمَّنْ يَمْلِكُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارِ O Prophet, ask them, who is the one who has control over your hearing and over your sight? The same is mentioned another way in Surah Yasin. Chapter 36, ayah number 66, 67, 68. وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَطَمَسْنَا عَلَى أَعْيُنِهِمْ فَاسْتَبَقُوا الصِّرَاطَ فَأَنَّا يُبْصِرُونَ Well, we have the power. Look at these disbelievers, these defiant, deliberate, wicked sinners. Challenge them, make them think on this. Have they not experienced these situations where people have been paralyzed? People have lost their faculties to speak, to see, to hear. Have they not seen this? If we so will, we can blot out their eyes. Lotomasna. And then they need to continue with their lives. They will want to. They will try to rush. فَأَنَّا يُبْصِرُونَ. What can they do to regain their sight if Allah does not will it so? وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَمَسَخْنَاهُمْ عَلَى مَكَانَتِهِمْ. Whatever their status and position and power, we can transmogrify them and change them. فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ مُضِيًّا وَلَا يَرْجِعُونَ. At that stage of paralysis, neither they can take one step forward, one step behind. They're stuck. وَمَن نُعَمِّرْهُ. And whomsoever we want in advance in age, نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ. We make نَكِّس. Next, the Arabs call these rotating wheels نَكَّاسَ. And one moment you're on the top, and then it rotates, and then you're at the bottom. نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ. We can flip-flop him from his top position of energy and power to his least position of power and faculty. And that's how we do in his old advanced age. أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Why don't they reflect on these natural phenomena that's occurring all the time around them? It's a display of the power of God. Next slide, please. Or suffering. The power demonstrates itself in how Allah began, how Allah can stop, how Allah can restart, how Allah sustains, how Allah controls the senses, how Allah... Consider another example, and this group of verses has several verses. One of them is this. وَيَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِالضُّرِّنْ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُ. If Allah so wills that you shall be visited by an affliction, there is no power who can remove that affliction other than Him. وَإِنْ يَمْسَسْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And He may so will to visit you with a fortune, that's because He has the power of everything. Next slide, please. And finally, about His total sovereignty and total power over everything. Again, there are several verses in the Quran reflecting this particular aspect. I quote one example. Chapter 41 is Surah Hamim Sajda or Surah Fussilat. Ayah number 15, and Allah quotes the example of a community in the past who were given ni'mah, power. They were so powerful, they could carve out their homes in high mountains. And they were so powerful that whoever opposed them, they could use excessive power against them. The Quran describes them elsewhere. But in this ayah, Allah says, look at their example. فَأَمَّا عَادٌ فَاسْتَكْبَرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَقَالُوا مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةً. These people were so arrogant and so proud that they started claiming, even if not necessarily saying so, they thought so, who is there more powerful than us? Look at how much we can do. Look at the vast lands that we control. Look at the agricultural wealth we've accumulated. Look at the army that we have. Look at the technology that we have developed whereby we can carve out homes and palaces and fortresses in mountains. Who is there? Man ashaddu minna quwwa. Who is there more powerful than us? We are the superpower of our times. This is Ad. And then Allah says, but you know the problem with them? أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُمْ هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةً. Don't they think, don't they ponder, don't they reflect over this reality that the very power who created them is more powerful than them? And this reflection point is repeated again and again. Why don't they look at that community? They thought that community was أشد قوة وآثارا وأكثر منهم. They were more in numbers, they were more powerful, they had a more advanced civilization than you Arabs, to whom the Quran is addressing as a primary audience. Or for example in Surah Nazi'at, is man more powerful? أَمِ السَّمَاءُ أَأَنْتُمْ أشد خلقا أم السماء بناها. Do you think you are the most powerful ones? Well, why don't you reflect on the heavens? Look at how the heavens have been created. Next slide, please. I just want to end on this one point. This picture is an artist's rendering of a celestial phenomenon known as a supernova. I just downloaded this maybe about a week or two ago. It's a picture of a supernova. A supernova basically is an explosion of a star which reaches the end of its life. It exhausts its fuel, and at that time, before it collapses on itself, it undergoes a massive explosion, an explosion which is supposed to release energy and light equivalent to all the stars in a galaxy. A galaxy may contain about a few thousand million stars. In one moment, one star gives out the light equivalent of several thousands of millions of stars. It's an amazing phenomena. Lakini, we don't know when it happens. Kwa sababu there are hundreds of thousands of millions of stars out there. Which one explodes when, God knows. There's one Reverend Robert Evans in Australia. He goes to the outback, clear sky, takes his telescope. On an ordinary night with a naked eye, you could probably see about 2,000 stars. With a medium-sized telescope, maybe about 50,000. With a powerful telescope, maybe a few hundred thousand stars. Sasa, he is a hunter of supernovae. And to imagine how a supernova explodes and when to discover it, we would never know. In fact, it is just like looking at the star, at the sky, and just a twinkle, because it's very far away. If it was very near, oh, the earth would have burnt up. But mercifully, these explosions take place very far away. They say, imagine if you've got a dinner table, and then you cover it with a black cloth, and then you sprinkle some white crystals, let's say grains of salt. These grains of salt represent the stars. Now, imagine you don't have one dinner table, you have 100, 150 dinner tables, all spread over in the hall here, all with grains of salt sprinkled. So say you walk around, one extra grain that appears is that supernova. Evans, Reverend Evans' eyes are so well trained, he can pick up that grain of salt. In the last few hundred years, the Milky Way has had about 5 supernovae. It's a massive demonstration of power. It's overwhelming. They haven't seen it before. This is the first. In fact, it's so bright, even during the daytime, you can see it. Last time it was in the 17th century, and one recent one was in the 80s. But because it was very far, it wasn't visible during the daytime. أَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ قُوَّةً أَمِ السَّمَاءَ بَنَاهَا. Conclusion. Allah asks us to look around. How did the universe begin? How is it sustained? How will it stop? How in between our senses are under his control? How afflictions visit us? How powerful the superpower communities of their time, how they were wiped out? All these are evidence Allah wants us to think about to understand his power. In the salah, we get the training to understand his power. You notice salah, there's one place where we express his power. Bihawlillahi wa quwwatihi aqumu wa aq'ud. By the power of God, I sit and I stand. Imagine a person is sick, he can't stand, so he has to sit and pray. Imagine he's sick, he can't sit, so he lies down. Stage number 3, you lie down on your right side, the way a person is buried in the grave, and you face the Qibla with your face and your front. Stage 4, if that is not possible, then the person should lie on his left side and face the Qibla. Stage 5, you can't do that, you're so sick, you lie on your back with your feet towards the Qibla. And at that time, you make ishara with your head. Up position is qiyam, middle position is ruku', and down position is sajda. Even at that time, when you're changing the position of the head from up to middle position, or from the down position to the middle position, you still say, bihawlillahi wa quwwatihi aqumu wa aqud. No. Let's say he's got a traction on the neck. He can't move his head from the top to the medium to the bottom position. He has to move his eyelids from the top position to the middle position to the lower position. That change of position of the eyelid, bihawlillahi wa quwwatihi aqumu wa aqud. No! The man is paralyzed, but he's conscious. In his mind, he thinks, now I'm standing, now I'm sitting, now I stand up from the sitting position. Bihawlillahi wa quwwatihi aqumu wa aqud. O Lord, I testify that the totality of my being is in your control. You are the all-powerful one. And that is why in the ruku' we are taught to say, Allahumma laka raka'tu wa laka aslamtu wa bika amantu. خشع لك سمعي وبصري وبشري ولحمي وعظمي ومخي وما أقلت قدماي. O Lord, I bend down before you by my body, no, by my skin, by my hair, by my flesh, by my blood, by my bones, by my brain, by the totality of my being, I'm under your control. You are the عظيم, you are the أعلى. That's the highest expression of the experience that we have in our innermost being of who is the powerful one. Once we experience that, it becomes automatic. Allahumma inni as'aluka bi quwwatika, bi jabarutika, bi azamatika, bi izzatika, bi sultanika. Let's pray to Allah to give the tawfiq to be able to make this dua in a sincere and earnest way. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.